Greta Garbo was many things in her lifetime, Hollywood's highest paid starlet in the silent films of the 20s, the personification of a strong and intelligent femininity, and finally, the Scandinavian Sphinx. Greta Lovisa Gustafsson was born in Stockholm 100 years ago, a centenary we wouldn't want to miss. After starring in a number of silent films, she was one of the few actors able to make the transition to talkies, despite, or perhaps because, of her deep voice and her heavy Swedish accent. This is the first line movie audiences heard her utter from the 1930 film Anna Christie.
Give me a whiskey, ginger it on the side. And don't be stingy, baby.
Don't be stingy, baby. In that film, she played a streetwalker searching for her father, a barge captain. Ms. Garbo became the leading lady of the early sound era, and that continued until her abrupt retirement in 1941 at the age of 36. She spent the last 5 decades of her life in determined seclusion. Mike Michonne is a film historian, head of the Moving Image section of the Library of Congress. He joins us here in the studio. Welcome.
Lovely to be here, Linda.
Now, watching a Greta Garbo performance today through 21st century eyes, what strikes you? Do certain things about her still stand out, do you think?
The only way that I can answer that is with a quote from Kenneth Tynan, who wrote, "What, when drunk, one sees in other women, one sees in Garbo sober." Can't say it any better than that. She has such a lovely face to begin with, but the range of emotions that she's able to portray just with raising an eyebrow, or I'm not even entirely sure how she does it, but it's quite remarkable.
She was the sort of not the girl next door kind of actress, as so many people in that period were, just incredibly perky.
It would have been nice if she had been the girl next door, but she was rather unattainable. And certainly MGM, the studio with which she spent her entire American career, marketed her that way. They did not want audiences to think of her as a girl next door. They wanted to think of her as somebody who was sort of beyond the reach of ordinary mortals.
Do you have a favorite Garbo film?
Yeah, my favorite Garbo film is Flesh and the Devil, a silent film from 1927.
John Gilbert was in that, right?
You're absolutely right. And John Gilbert is known as one of Garbo's great loves. And they fell in love during the making of this film. And it's quite obvious.
A thumbnail sketch of the plot would be.
Two friends who are both in love with her. One goes away in the army and tells his best friend, "Please look after my girlfriend while you're gone." The friend marries the girlfriend, Garbo, when the guy comes back. They're going to fight to have a duel to the death. And before she is able to stop them from having their duel out on an island, she is running across the frozen lake and falls through the ice and drowns as the two men are making up and declaring their love for each other. So it's a happy ending for them, maybe. Anyhow, it's an absolutely gorgeous film, and one thing we sometimes tend to forget, films really regressed in the way that they looked in the early sound era. These late silent films with Garbo, Flesh and the Devil, The Kiss, Wild Orchids, are absolutely stunningly gorgeous, just in the way that they're
and
written.
relatively erotic,
Oh, my.
compared to the films of the 40s
Absolutely. Well,
forward.
Flesh and the Devil is just carnal.
We do have a clip from a comedy, Ninotchka. This was in 1939. Was this the first time she did comedy?
It was.
The idea is that a repressed Bolshevik, Garbo, goes to Paris to sort of corral these wandering comrades of hers who have fallen prey to the attractions of the city. But then she falls in love with Melvin Douglas.
Who wouldn't?
Must you flirt?
Well, I don't have to, but I find it natural.
Suppress it.
I'll try.
I have heard of the arrogant male in capitalistic society. It is having a superior earning power that makes you that way.
A Russian. I love Russians. Comrade, I've been fascinated by your 5-year plan for the last 15 years.
Your type will soon be extinct.
Garbo she was very funny in this. At one point, she tells him that your appearance is not entirely revolting.
It is an absolutely wonderful, delightful film from top to bottom. Her performance is just so note perfect.
Now, she retired in 1941, and she was only 36 years old. Did the studios think she was too old at that point, or was this her decision?
Well, her star had begun to wane throughout the late 1930s. And also, you have to consider, this is right at the time America is entering World War II. She was always very reliable box office for Hollywood overseas, but the overseas market was completely dried up during World War II. And there just was nothing after World War II really for her to do. I mean, when she said, "I want to be alone in Grand Hotel," I don't think that she was lying. She didn't want to be isolated, but from everything I understand, was perfectly content to live those last 50 years in New York.
You know, in that period of time when she was in retirement, I saw her on the street.
Well, I mean, she wasn't a hermit. She had friends who she enjoyed spending time with. She walked for hours every day. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that somebody who experienced the sort of fame and notoriety that she did could just pick up and leave. But she did.
Thanks very much.
It was my pleasure, Linda.
Mike Michonne is a film historian at the Library of Congress, where he is in charge of the section on moving images.
I want to be alone.
Where have you been? I suppose I can cancel the Vienna contract?
I just want to be alone.
You're going to be very much alone, my dear madam. This is the end.